You know that I feel like it's important to express yourself. You got to put your true self out there. And those classic Crocs, clogs, and sandals let you do that.
That's right. Between the rainbow of colors and the Jibbitz charms, you can create a unique look. And I mean literally, no one else will have shoes exactly like yours.
Hey, you know it doesn't get any more comfortable than the Croc clogs and sandals. They are just the perfect blend of comfort and creativity.
Visit Crocs.com to explore the latest styles and Jibbitz charms.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Parents, never underestimate the power of listening to your children.
That's a fact, deadass. And don't be that parent that's just like, it's not my child, when you get advice from others. Be diligent about looking into whatever that said issue may be.
Deadass.
Hey, I'm Kadeen.
And I'm DeVal.
And we're the Ellises.
You may know us from posting funny videos with our boys.
And reading each other publicly as a form of therapy.
Wait, I make you need therapy?
Most days.
Wow.
Oh, and one more important thing to mention, we're married.
Yes, sir, we are. We created this podcast to open dialogue about some of life's most taboo topics.
Things most folks don't want to talk about.
Through the lens of a millennial married couple. Deadass is a term that we say every day. So when we say deadass, we're actually saying facts. 100. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We about to take pillow talk to a whole new level.
Deadass starts right now.
So, I remember exactly where I was when I started to wonder, like, what exactly was going on.
With Dakota specifically?
Dakota.
Okay.
And it was, I'm trying to remember the month. I remember exactly when it happened. But it was during Jackson's football practices where I was spending a lot of time with Jackson, and me and Jackson were spending like 3 or 4 days together, a bunch of hours preparing for football. And Dakota, I come in the house and Dakota runs up to me, gives me a hug, right? I'm like, what's up, buddy? And at this point, Dakota's turning two, right? And I noticed that when he said certain sounds or tried to say certain sounds, or I said things to him, he would say like, eat, like eat. And I would say, hey, what's up, buddy? You know what I'm saying? You having a good time? And rather than say yes, he would say eat. So at first I was like, that's interesting, because he's not mimicking me. He's not imitating me. He's just making a sound. So at first I was like, it's not that big a deal. You know, he's not even two yet.
Right.
You know, it is what it is. Then I remember on his second birthday, when I was just like, oh, he's two now. I remember the boys around there. Two-year-old birthdays, you know, they could scream out, yay, you know what I'm saying? Hi, bye-bye. And then I remember his second birthday, we were doing like we do with all of them. We have a little cake and we celebrating with them. And I said, yo, your pamper needs to be changed. Go get your pamper. I said, your pamper dirty? And then he said, eat. And I said, he's two now. He should be saying yes.
Right.
At this point. He should. And what threw me off is that he's been saying mama, dada, papa, mimi, and Roro since he was like right after one.
Yeah.
He's been saying those names. But now he's still only saying those words clearly, and he's saying eat. At that moment, I was like, maybe I should look into something. And that's when you took him for his two-year-old checkup. And the doctor said, I want you guys to take Dakota to see a speech pathologist.
Speech therapist, to be evaluated.
He should be saying 50 words at this point or more. And he was only saying those five.
Yep. But the best part about it is that you told him to get his pamper. He brought the pamper, the wipes, and the A&D ointment, and then laid on the couch.
Yes.
Like, change me, sir.
Yes.
So it was several things here, because he understands what you're saying. He was able to get everything done. But it's like, bro, you should also probably be using the potty now, too.
Absolutely.
Karaoke time.
So in honor of Dakota's middle name.
His namesake.
His namesake. I'm going to sing this song because I want this song to also resonate not only with him, mm-hmm. but with other parents.
Yes.
And y'all know Dakota's middle name is Marley.
That's a fact.
So I say this.
But.
Don't worry.
Hey.
About a thing. Because every little thing is going to be all right. Yes.
Saying don't worry. About a thing.
Because every little thing. It's gonna be all right.
That's a fact.
Yes.
Everything's gonna be all right, baby.
Yes.
It's all good. Let's go pay some bills and we're gonna dive into this because it's something that we felt like we wanted to share with you guys, our dead ass family, because in the spirit of sharing, like we always do, we're very transparent about what's happening in our lives.
Absolutely.
And since Dead Ass Podcast has kind of evolved into like a chronological order of what we're dealing with at the time.
Right.
You know, we don't have a ton of guests anymore. We just love to talk to you guys directly. You can hear what's going on with our life.
You guys are the guests.
At this point, you guys are the guests. Exactly. So we want to talk to you guys about what we've been diving into when it comes to our baby boy, number 4, Dakota. So stick around and we'll be back.
Hey, what's good, y'all? I think it's important for you to understand why Black representation in media is important. It's important because the media represents how people view us, and it's important that they understand that Black people are not a monolithic people.
That is a fact, and the next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truth.
Black Stories, Black Truth is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black stories, Black truths.
Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now they are the story.
In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience.
Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get your podcasts. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Y'all, let me tell you, after the Love Against the World tour, my social battery is depleted, drained, no energy. How do you feel, babe?
I don't know. You know, it can be easy for people to ignore their social battery and spread themselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up one after another in the wintertime.
That's a fact. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge after that? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need some more alone time like me.
You know what? Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery.
So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/deadass today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/deadass. During the break, let's quickly talk about a couple things that are important to most people I know. Comfort and style. Crocs, classic clogs, and sandals have both covered.
When I'm talking about style, I mean personal style. There are just so many colors and so many Jibbitz charms that you can add to the Crocs to make them unique. You can dress up your Crocs to match your mood, to match your personality, to fit the occasion, and you can change them up day to day.
I mean, ultimately, you can stand out from the crowd in a way that only you can because it's your personal style. And now, let's talk about comfort. You know, it doesn't get better than Crocs, clogs, and sandals when it comes to being comfortable. Style and comfort are usually a trade-off, but here, they're a package deal. It's like you have cushions on your feet. Soft, stylish, personalized, colorful cushions.
That's right. So why wait? Head over to Crocs.com today and experience the comfort and style of Crocs classic clogs and sandals for yourself. Your feet will thank you.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, so let's talk a little bit more about story time because Kadeen and I feel like, first of all, the code is fine.
Yes, let's start there.
We had him tested. We had him tested. We took him to a speech therapist.
Yes.
And they do a series of tests for children his age.
Yeah, DeVal and I were able to sit in on that as well to kind of see what the therapist was going to assess him on. You know, just to be of support and to also kind of get some tips and tricks about things we could start to work on with him immediately while we were waiting for the results of the assessment.
And the biggest thing I learned from the assessment are there's two types of communication for children.
Yes.
They work on the receptive.
Yes.
And then the expressive.
Yes.
Dakota, when it came to the receptive part of it, scored very well.
Yeah.
He pointed out over 50 shapes, colors, animals, shoes, bags, birds, things that I didn't even know. She was like, point to your eyes, ears, mouth, chin, hair, elbow, knee. And she's like, wow, he knows all of his body parts. He knows all of the objects that someone his age is supposed to know and more.
She also gave him some direction, like, can you go and get the ball? Can you go and get this? So he was doing all of those things. So he understood exactly what was happening.
He also was able to take direction for specific things that were a little bit more advanced. For example, can you take the ball out of the cup and give one ball to daddy and give one ball to me? So it was like watching him do certain things. There was a moment there where Kadeen and I, you know, got a little emotional because I know I got emotional in part because I felt like we were the problem.
Absolutely.
You know, and,
parents
we're
going
to get into why I felt like we were the problem. But when it came time to him for him to express himself, it was like he was choosing not to speak.
And it's hard because it's like in that moment, we're wondering, is he shy? Because this is a stranger that he's never met before. So that level of comfort hasn't been established. Is he just being stubborn and just doesn't want to talk or say anything?
I think it was a hearing issue. They wanted to see if it was a hearing issue, but we had him tested for hearing and
that was fine colors. So me as mom, you know, I start to kind of think about, and it's hard because you have three children prior and I tend to kind of compare, you know, where the other boys were at that phase.
Right.
So I remember Jackson and Kaz, they spoke very clearly and very eloquently earlier on. So meaning like, you know, a little over a year going into two, they were saying a lot.
Same words. But they weren't speaking like as much, for example, like Cairo.
Right.
Cairo was gibberish.
Right. So Cairo, I was going to say, had like this, we used to joke about it and call it Caironese, like his own language, because he was so animated and he would just be babbling a lot.
Yeah.
So we knew that he was trying to express himself, but once he finally caught his command of the English language, then it was like, Words, speaking, full blown, singing, I mean, everything. So I, for a while, when Dakota was approaching two, my mom and my sister at two different points had mentioned, like, do you notice like Dakota doesn't really say as much? He doesn't repeat as much. So I was like, we'll give him a chance because every child is different. They develop differently. And just because we're the same two parents having four children, they're all so different.
Right.
And his pace may be different than the others. And let's face it, he's in a household with seven other people who be talking all the goddamn time. You know what I'm saying? Well, six, because my dad is very quiet. But
and remember that we said that.
Yeah, my dad is super quiet. So we, you know, between his brothers running around here, it was just kind of like we figured naturally he would just start talking because everybody else is talking. We talk to him. We talk with him, you know. Right. So there were things that I necessarily didn't see as a red flag because of that. And in retrospect now, and I think even in this moment when we were at the therapist's office and stuff, I got emotional because I felt like, man, was I doing him a disservice by not being more tuned in earlier?
I would say yes. And mm-hmm. not you, I would say we as a collective.
Yeah.
And this is just a PSA for all parents. Typically when you get to the second, third, fourth child, it's, you know, wheels are in motion.
Yes.
You know, Jackson got practice. Kyro got art. Kyro has practice. Kaz has art. We also have a tour. We both working.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fourth child is like, well, he's around his brothers. He'll figure it out.
Right. Or he has Mimi and Papa with him. You know, he's in good hands during right. the day, right?
So we'll
he's
figure
fine.
It out. When,
yeah.
when you really look at it,
mm-hmm.
that's not how we raised any of our other children.
Mm-hmm.
Jackson had specific time from 1 to 2 where he was just with dad
yes.
at home.
Yes.
Kyro had specific time
mm-hmm.
where he between 1 and 2 where he was just with dad at home.
Mm-hmm.
Kaz had that specific time where he was home with Mimi.
Right.
When we were working.
During the pandemic, too.
And she was focused on doing Mimi Suri. But then when I look back at Dakota, I say, you know, Dakota's 2 now.
Mm-hmm.
And he's had no specific time with anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Pops is not an early childhood educator.
No. Nope.
Pops is a man of few words. Pops, like most granddads do, mm-hmm. will put on whatever it is you want to watch. I'm going to make sure you're healthy. I'm going to make
yep.
sure you're not bleeding. I'm going to make sure you're
you're
fed.
You're breathing.
And we're going to chill.
Right.
So Pops would put on Cocomelon. We as parents were just like, oh, it's Cocomelon.
That's
a good
what he likes.
Kids
yeah, they're
show.
Singing. They learn songs. He's doing the wheels
Bet.
On the bus. Okay, cool.
So when I go back and think about the 2 years, Dakota's been spending a lot of time in this house
mm-hmm.
with a man who does not say much
mm-hmm.
at all.
Right.
So
during
if you're a young toddler, who are you conversing with if no one is speaking to you? His
mm-hmm.
brothers go to school every day.
Right.
When they come home, they go outside and
mm-hmm.
play with each other until 5, 6 o'clock. Then they come inside and then it's getting ready to time for bed.
Mm-hmm.
No one's really paying specific attention
right.
to Dakota.
Right.
And the reason why I feel like that's been the problem is because he's been to speech therapy now for 3 weeks.
Uh-huh.
And now he can repeat, which means all we had to do
was
start the process
the
early.
Time.
That was unfair to him.
For sure. Because,
you know,
between Papa and then Mimi being here, I know Mimi's a lot more vocal and all that.
Yes.
But also, too, like, it's not their responsibility, per se, to make
no.
sure that they are, you know, being
no.
an educator. You know, it's a plus that we do have mom and dad here to assist, but the responsibility is not all on them to be able to do that. And we typically don't start our boys in school until they can speak. Like Jackson by 2.5 was speaking
right.
and Kyro was the same thing. Kaz didn't have that opportunity because of the pandemic, but we normally put them in school so that the socialization component also encourages them to speak more.
Absolutely.
Their vocabulary expands because the teachers are now giving them more. Like,
mm-hmm.
so we also now reassessed when we were going to start Coda in
yes.
school, thinking, you know what, let's start him immediately because during those days when the boys are at school
right.
or you and I may have work or we're traveling, if he's at least in a school environment or an educational environment, he may be more apt to pick things up.
Yes.
So those are the couple of things that we have tried to do more recently once we discover that, you know what, he might be behind like 2 or 3 months.
And to be honest, when I think about even Kyro and Kaz, Kyro babbled.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier,
aggressively.
Said a lot of things, right?
yeah.
Kaz was more articulate, but Kaz also was less vocal
yes.
up until he was 4.
Yes.
So even if you go back and look at the videos, Kaz just did not speak to people.
Right.
But there was moments where I remember Kaz was 2.5. Yes, mommy, I would like that. Thank you.
Yes.
So it's like he won't speak, but when he speaks,
yes.
he's articulate.
We used to call him Little Professor.
Ever yeah. since he was little Professor. But Kyro was, and then now Kyro
mm-hmm.
doesn't speak as much.
Right.
But Kaz is super vocal. He asks a bunch of questions.
Yes.
So I want to say that too. So also don't put one barometer on all your children and
right.
say, if they're not doing this by this time, something is wrong.
They evolve.
They evolve. They learn differently.
Mm-hmm.
They choose when they want to communicate and when they don't want to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
But this is also important. What they watch.
Yes.
Because Coda loved to watch Cocomelon. Which
we didn't know is an overstimulant for children.
Had no clue.
So it's actually a deterrent
yes.
for babies and children. They shouldn't be watching Cocomelon. In turn, they should be watching things like Miss Rachel, who is a human,
right.
who is actually speaking to them and she's sounding out words and she's encouraging the mimicking.
Yes.
You know, that's a more educational route when it comes to TV and screen time.
Which has helped him because he's learned how to pronounce certain words. I played that Miss Rachel Wheels on the Bus video so much.
Mm-hmm.
But now he's wheels on the bus and he's round and round.
He was doing it in the car today, actually, going to therapy.
And it's like just practicing the use of that language while watching a human do it is different than watching a cartoon that looks like an alien with his words underneath and a bouncing ball and music and flashing lights.
Yes.
For young kids, they don't know what they're seeing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I remember watching Sesame Street.
Mm-hmm.
And think about how primitive Sesame Street is.
Mm-hmm.
The letter of the day is A. Say A.
Right.
Then they put the A up there.
Yeah, and all you hear is A.
A.
A. A.
And it's like, yo, like my kid ain't slow. Why you? But then when you think about it.
There was a method to that madness.
Yes.
But there was a method to that, which makes sense. So it's like going back to the roots of some things that are just timeless when it comes to early childhood development and education, which we didn't know. So it's been one of those things where Deval and I kind of struggled a bit with it because, you know, naturally as parents, we want to be able to give our kid every opportunity to be successful, even at two, wherever he should be at two. But I also, once I spoke to his doctor at that 2-year checkup, she didn't seem overly concerned because there were other milestone markers that he met. Like she literally gave me this whole exam that I had to fill out for him. Can he do this? Can he take a ball and put it in a cup? Can he stack blocks? Like, can he take direction if you ask him to put something in the garbage? Like there were things that he was doing. So she wasn't overly concerned. And though she made the recommendation to have him evaluated, I didn't want to be that parent that sometimes
gets
that panics or also gets offended, you know?
Yeah, gets offended.
And she kind of was like treading lightly with when she told me, she's like, you know, I'm just making a recommendation to you.
Right.
And our doctor, I love her to death. She's a sister too. So I'm just like, shoot it straight to me, sis. Like, if it was your baby, what would you do? Like, you don't got to tiptoe around me. I'm not a sensitive parent. Like, say what it is. And she's just like, no, I would recommend just getting him at least evaluated.
Right.
So I said, I appreciate that. I said, because I'm not the parent that's just like, no, my child is fine. Like, you ain't going to be labeling my child. Da, da, da.
Right.
It wasn't that for me. It was like, what do I need to do to set him up for success?
Absolutely.
And the minute she said that, I found a speech therapist that I really liked in the area.
The next day, when I tell you Kadeen does not play when it comes to education.
Nope.
The next day, she's like, Deval, these are the speech therapists. When do you have time? We went together and we made it a point to let the doctors know that he has both of his parents in his life who are going to be here in this process.
Absolutely.
And I always also feel like when they see both mom and dad, they know that not only the baby is supported, but mom is supported. And this is not going to be a combative thing where it's like, we don't know if we're going to get the child all the time. Because sometimes it's like, oh, my son don't need that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can take him when you want. My son don't need that. Then when dad's turn to take him, he's not taking him.
Right, right.
You know, I wanted to be very clear that they knew that Dakota was supported by both of us.
For sure, for sure. And so far, I mean, he hasn't been exposed to the school environment yet. So the first visit was a little bit kind of, you know, he was apprehensive. He was just like, where are we going? Where am I going with
Mimi
this lady?
And took him to his first one because we were on tour.
Now, it's funny, like, it's good that you mentioned Mimi because this jogged idea or, you know, something I wanted to say before.
Talk about it.
But Mimi is grandma, okay? Mimi is grandma. She's fabulous and all, we know that. But at the end of the day, she is grandma. And those boys know that Mimi has a weakness for them.
Yes.
And Mimi is going to do whatever it is they want her to do, and Papa.
Papa too.
But I say Mimi specifically because when Mimi took him to his visit, he was like, I don't want to. Like he was sticking and clinging to Mimi and did not want to go with the speech therapist because he knows with Mimi. Yeah. So even to say if Mimi sits down with him and she's doing flashcards or colors, he's not engaging with her in that capacity.
Nope.
Because Mimi is fun, as she should be, you know? So that's when Deval and I had to step back and say, you know what? That's not Mimi's sole responsibility to have to do that. Do we encourage it during the day when she has time with him? Absolutely. But the boys know that Mimi and Papa will always try to bail them out of a situation.
Absolutely.
You know, and that's the particularly difficult thing about having my parents living full time. Sometimes the lines get blurred when it comes to boundaries and parameters and things that they have permission to do. So it's funny to see how Dakota acted differently when Mimi took him into therapy versus when you and I took him.
That's a great point because that also puts us on notice of how important it is for us to not put off all of our responsibilities on your parents.
For sure.
Right? Because a lot of parents do that. You know, mm-hmm. it was just like, oh, well, my parents got them, so that's cool. There is a dynamic there between grandparents and grandchildren that is unspoken, but everyone knows what it is. Mm-hmm. And that dynamic is this. My grandparents love me so much more than they love my parents that I can get away with not doing what my parents say with my grandparents.
Absolutely.
Now, there's also a different dynamic between mom and dad. For example, me and Kay took Coda to a second one.
Mm-hmm.
The minute we get there, he looks at me, he looks at Kay, he separates from us. Because it's almost as if he knows, like, okay, I can't do the Mimi thing. Just let me do what they want me to do, right? We get down there, and the doctor says, you know, when he came the last time, he didn't repeat any words. I can't write down what Mimi says that he says at home. I have to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
So then I go, say mama, mama, say dada. Dad, dad. Who's Dakota? Me. And she's like, oh, wow. I said, yes, because there's a different disciplinary action.
Right. When dad is involved. Right? Yep.
Mom is sitting there. Me and Kay sitting there. I say, he has to learn how to do these things when we're not here.
Mm-hmm. 10 minutes in,
I said, yo, Dakota, we're going to leave. We're not sneaking out. Mm-mm. We don't do the sneak out thing.
Mm-hmm.
We're going outside. We will be right back, buddy. Mm-hmm. Okay. He looked at us. And he kind of was walking towards the door. And then Kay said, no, baby, you have to wait. You have to stay. And at that moment, it was like, okay, dad said I have to stay. Mom gave me reassurance.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be fine.
Yes.
We walked out, closed the door. We listened to see if we was going to hear the cry.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just kept hearing it go on.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me was also important because I had my mom and my dad here. They're both telling me that they're going to be back.
Yes.
Dad always is the disciplinarian, but mom takes care of me. So it seems like in his heart, he like, they won't let me, nothing happen to me. I'll be fine.
Right.
And then when we came back in, the doctor was just like, night and day. I don't know what happened. And I'm like, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. She's like, yeah, he was great. He was great. So then here we are. This morning was his fourth visit, I believe.
Four visits now, guys.
Right.
Four.
So slowly, little by little, so on that second visit, well, first visit with Mimi, because we were on tour.
Yes.
He didn't want to leave Mimi aside. Second visit with mom and dad, 10 minutes in, we left the room.
Little tentative, but he stayed.
Third visit, we made it into the waiting area. Mm-hmm. Then the therapist came out. Hey, Dakota, do you want to go play with the bubbles? Do you want to play with the pig? There's this one tour that he likes, this pig. So he was like, oh, yeah. Like he knew. Gone. Walked in with her. Today, when I went to bring...
I didn't go today.
But I went today to take him. And as soon as she saw my car pull up, she was outside. And she took him out of the car.
See?
And she was like, hey, Coda, good to see you today. Are we going to go talk? And he went and walked right in with her. Now, he did look back about 3-4 times.
He's like, yo, you still in the car, lady.
Right,
what
lady,
you
like,
doing?
Where you going? Don't hightail it out of here. So I was like, mommy's going to go get some gas and come back, okay? You're going to go with Miss, and I said her name. And he just kind of nodded.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you're going to say yes? And he said yes. And then he went inside. And she texted me a couple minutes in, and she's like, he's great.
That's progress.
That's progress already. And then I come out of the visit. Now she sees my car pull back up and she brings him out back to the car. And she was like, wow. She said, you guys have really been working with him, haven't you?
Oh.
And I said, listen, girl, I said, we don't play games over here.
No.
You tell us what we have to do. We're going to do it and then some. She said, I can tell. She said, he's doing way more mimicking. He's repeating.
Mm-hmm.
He was saying, help me. He said, please. He just so many things that he's just,
please.
He said,
this
please.
This is the first I'm hearing this now. He said, please.
He said, please.
Because Dakota also been watching Miss Rachel. So there's two things I know that he likes to sign. Well, three things. He will sign thank you.
Mm-hmm.
He will sign please. Mm-hmm. And he will sign more.
Yes.
But she said to work on saying more when you sign it and saying please. So he actually said please.
He said please today to her.
That's what's up.
So she was trying to get him to do help me please. But she said that's a little ambitious. It's three words together. But he does help me. And then he did please separately. Which was great because he was reliant a lot on the sign language too.
Yes.
Which in the very beginning when you're teaching children sign language, it's just an easier way for you to communicate with them when they're super young.
Right, absolutely.
But I didn't realize, because he's the first child that we really did sign language with, and I didn't realize how much of a reliance he had on the sign language. And I didn't know if that was also interfering with his actual verbal as well.
I did think about that because Solvin's children, Slick's children, remember, they speak multiple languages.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember Rima, because she's also big on neurological movement and early childhood education. Children who learn multiple languages and sign language typically don't speak as early as someone who learns one.
Good point.
So they typically, they're trying to figure out which word and which language do I use in this moment. Mm-hmm. So at times it could be confusing.
Yes.
And then it's once they hit the ground, it's boom.
Right.
So at times I thought, well, maybe the sign language was throwing him off, but it wasn't that.
Mm-hmm.
It was really just us in lack of repetition. But we also have a really good village
mm-hmm.
because once we told Papa and Mimi,
mm-hmm.
no Cocomelon.
Yep.
Papa and Mimi does not put Cocomelon on that television. His brothers are very diligent because we made it a family thing. We said, hey, guys, your brother's not speaking where we want him to speak yet. So we have to do a better job of not giving him the things he wants until he repeats.
Mm-hmm.
So if he's saying, you know, juice, don't just go because that's what, you know, big brothers do. He would grab Cairo's hand. Ro-ro, walk Cairo all the way to the fridge, right? Open it and point.
Mm-hmm.
And Cairo would just get it, open it, give it to him. So now I'm like, Cairo, you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You got to make him say juice. Mm-hmm. And then Cairo was getting frustrated. He's like, Daddy, he won't repeat it. So I said, start with juh. Just go juh, juh. So I'm watching him now. He's pulling him. He's just like, juh, juh. Because mm-hmm. Cairo wouldn't give it to him.
Right.
So I'm like, these are the things we have to do as a family to help him get into that mm-hmm. repetition of saying what he wants, not just pointing.
Listen, y'all, it'd be celebrations up in here several times a day, okay? Like, it's over the top.
It is.
And like you said, we do have a great village. Mom and Dad have now been making sure that they're compliant with everything that we want to enforce. And just even like friends and family who come by, like my sister's in town and she's just like, you have to say cup.
Yep.
You know, Uncle Matt is just like, oh, say this word, say that word. Like,
I'm glad you brought that up. It was never an embarrassment thing for us. You know how some parents get embarrassed and said, oh, my child is speech delayed.
Oh, I
don't
for want, sure.
And don't tell anyone.
Because we quite frankly didn't even have to do an episode on this. We could have just been like, all right, we'll just let it rock. But why?
We have to stop shaming people who learn differently
mm-hmm.
or shaming children who don't do everything on par with the rest of our children.
Yeah.
How about we rally around them? You can't have the village rally around them if you're too ashamed to tell people, my child may be a little delayed because of something I did or maybe something that's wrong with
or
them.
Or didn't do, right?
You don't know, but our village, all of our friends, the first thing we tell them, hey, we're dealing with a speech delay with Dakota, so if he points to something or if he tells him, try to get him to repeat, you know?
Mm-hmm.
He has all his uncles here, Josh here, Matt here, Uncle Tris comes, or my mm-hmm. brother Brian. We're telling everybody in our family,
right?
Hey, this is what we're dealing with. We need mm-hmm. y'all to rally around it. So we implore anyone who's going through this with a child, don't be ashamed.
No.
You don't have to feel like something is wrong. And most of the time, speech delays are not permanent.
No.
Speech delays are something
they're just
that if
what
you
it
get
is, a
them
delay.
Early, you can boom, and they'd be like, I never would have thought that he was speech delayed.
And all it took was a little refocusing on our side, right?
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
like we said, when we talked about even just like this being our last tour and us just not having like the capacity to be able to do it between work and family and stuff, these are the things that we are taking into consideration.
Yes.
Like having to spend more time physically in the house with our children because they're all dealing with something different. And it's four different things at one time. We have Coda with the speech delay. You know, Jackson had a little moment last night. We had to talk to him about some stuff. Like there's always something that somebody is dealing with and there's no more power than being here physically to deal with it head on.
And not for nothing, Jackson wasn't speech delayed, but Jackson mm-hmm. dealt with a stuttering issue.
I forgot. Yeah, Jackson dealt was with a stuttering issue, for a little
which is
bit.
A part of the reason why we were so adamant about putting him in debate.
Mm-hmm.
Because with Jackson, his issue was thinking fast and trying to get the words out without saying, hey, let the words come.
Mm-hmm.
And Jackson be thinking, and he's very, I forgot the exact word, but he's almost like a computer.
Mm-hmm.
When we
it's
talk
like downloading
about,
and he's trying to say it while it's downloading.
Yes.
And it's buffering.
It's buffering. That's what it was. It's like he was buffering. And I'm like, bro, so you don't have to rush and get it out. And then the practice, the constant practice and staying on him and say the end of the words and working on different exercises.
It was a concern for me early on only because stuttering runs in my family on my mom's side. Remember my grandfather?
Oh, that's right, your grandfather.
My grandfather stuttered his entire life. I have an aunt who still to this day stutters. She's a lot better now. She's actually an ELA teacher, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. I'm proud of her because she's overcome so much of it. She does still have it every now and again, but she's overcome a lot of it. And then another aunt of mine stutters as well too. So when Jackson was stuttering early on, I'm like, oh my God, was this just like a genetic thing that he couldn't overcome? But I'm thinking about back then, my grandfather didn't have the resources within his community developmentally to get any kind of therapy if that was necessary. But with us, We did speak to his pediatrician about it at the time, Jackson, and he too didn't seem too concerned, but he did say that's probably what it is, just practicing. So between debate and then seeing Jackson on stage at the Apollo, introducing you and delivering this whole speech that he wrote, it was just a proud moment for us too, because he's come a long way with that.
Well, for the past couple of years, he has exercised that he and I do, right? And when I feel like sometimes he's getting ahead of himself, I say, slow down.
Yeah.
Say, Red Rover, when is this really over? Then he'll say it. Say who, what, where, when, why, how. Mm-hmm. Say seashells, she sells by the seashore. And it teaches him to slow down, say the beginning and the end of every word. And just those constant practices became muscle memory because he used to struggle with the S's, the W's, and the R's.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like the minute we get to S's and I'm like, hey, hey.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was like not shaming him.
No, definitely not.
You know, not doing things like I hear some parents, and when I was in prototype, had a couple kids who used to stutter or stammer, and they would be stuttering, and you would hear mothers, yo, get all that stammering and screaming, and then the kids would be shocked, and they would be stopped, and I'd be like, yo, like.
Right, because for them, of course, it can be embarrassing.
Of course, and we're talking about kids who are 8, 9 years old, who are still in that development phase. Like, their brains haven't really fully developed yet, so they don't know what's going on.
Yep.
And we do a lot more harm to our children by ignoring their issues and then shaming them in front of other people for not self-correcting their own issues that they don't know that they have.
Absolutely. They're not even equipped to be able to do that.
Right.
So we have some facts and stats that I want to jump into, just some overall general things that Tribble has come up with for you guys when we're talking about developmental potential delays with children. Timely identification of delay by primary care physicians can allow for early intervention and reduce disability. So
that's
like we
exactly
said,
what we went through. Two-year-old checkup.
Yep, two-year-old checkup. And those milestone marker checkups are super important to make sure that you're on. 1 out of 5 children will learn to talk or use words later than other children their age. Some children will also show behavioral problems because they are frustrated when they can't express what they want or need.
Now think about that. You said 1 in 5. We have 4 boys.
Right.
So it means that if, you know, one of them.
Probability, baby.
Probability. One of them may, they might not all of them or all of them, but we knew we were going to get one.
Right.
And we got one.
We got one. Know? Yeah, exactly. And it's funny. I do notice sometimes Dakota gets annoyed or frustrated if he's trying to express something that he wants.
Yes.
And he can't say the words yet, but he'll get upset. So he'll just either motion for or sign something that he wants. Simple speech delays are sometimes temporary. They may resolve on their own or with a little extra help from family. It's important to encourage your child to talk to you with gestures or sounds and for you to spend lots of time playing with them, reading to them, talking with your infant or toddler. And in some cases, your child will need more help from a trained professional, a speech and language therapist, to learn to communicate. One thing I also realized that we weren't doing with Coda as much that we did with the younger boys, for example, he's in this house a lot.
Yes.
He's not out. He's not exploring. You know, dad will take him on walks and stuff during the day to get some fresh air. But Jackson, Cairo, and Kaz were literally in transit with us all the time. So when we're in the car and we're driving around Brooklyn, you point out the building, the car, the truck, the this, the that, the dog. And there was a lot more of that happening with our 3 younger boys. Whereas with Coda just be like Fresh Prince of ATL chilling in the house all day. That now I'm like, okay, I'm going to be more deliberate. The weather's getting nicer.
Yep.
I'm going to take him to the park more. We're going to have moments where he can go shopping with me. We can point things out. Like, that's one thing I realized that we weren't doing with Dakota that we did with the other 3. And research suggests that the first 6 months of life are the most crucial for the child's development of language skills. For a person to become fully competent in any language, exposure must begin as early as possible, preferably before school age.
I will have to definitely agree with this. When you have your first child, you put all your energy into the first. Then you have the second, you have to split time.
Mm-hmm.
You have the third, it's impossible to split time between 2 and your career. So it's typically the third child is the one who gets the least amount of love. I saw it with my family, my sister, you know, Tori, with Sakari.
But not the least amount of love, but not maybe love. Attention.
Yeah, not love. They don't get the least amount of love. But I mean, I would
attention
say love.
Attention and time.
I would say love, even, you know, my parents probably hugged up and kissed up on us more than they did my sister because...
Oh, I see what you mean.
You know, they're just
the affection
older.
Affection component.
Yeah, there's just so much going on. And that affection component, when I watch the speech therapist with Dakota, all they're doing is playing.
Mm-hmm.
And when I mean love, that's the type of love, right?
And positive reinforcements.
Of course. But with Jackson, I took time with love to mm-hmm. let's play with the blocks. Mm-hmm. With Dakota, I'm not gonna lie. There was times like, yo, go find your brothers. Cause I figured he has someone who's gonna play with him.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
these little dudes is on the video game playing Roblox and they don't got time for a toddler. Mm-hmm. It's unfair
yeah.
as parents, if you're gonna continue to have children, to not say I'm gonna give the same amount of love, attention, mm-hmm. and discipline to the fourth as I did to the first. And I know I'm guilty of that.
Absolutely.
That's
same.
what I feel like is gonna change. That's like you said.
Huge wake up call for us.
Why are we not going on tour as much? Why are we not doing mm-hmm. as much? It's also just more imperative that we spend time mm-hmm. with them. Because they talk about early childhood development, the first 6 months. But now Jackson is in that middle school mm-hmm. age. He still needs dad's attention.
Oh, for sure.
Cairo and Kaz are in elementary school. Mm-hmm. So they need our attention. So mm-hmm. we're at a point now where it's like the most important thing is our children and how they develop.
For sure. And I think you and I can do a good job once we put the time and effort into it by dividing and conquering. So maybe you designating a day where you're like, yo, I'm rocking with Cairo today, babe. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm doing something with him. And then I'm like, all right, cool. I got Coda. Like I pulled out a ton of books already. Like I've been rearranging the play area just to make sure that I'm doing those things with him deliberately.
What you said is something that I noticed too. You've given them now a designated learning area.
Yeah.
They had that mm-hmm. when we were in Calabasas.
Yes.
They had that.
Yes.
But when we got here, we never had a designated learning area where it was like, this is the time where we're going to sit down and learn.
And do, yes.
And Dakota needs that. That's the regimen they need.
The structure.
That's sometimes why you get a speech therapist, because they know at this time on these days, mm-hmm. I'm going to learn.
For sure. For sure. Children 3 and younger showing signs of speech, language, or developmental delays may be referred to an early intervention specialist. Early intervention is a federal and state funded program that helps children and their families, which is awesome for families if you have insurance. So that was one of the things that DeVal and I were able to look into, mm-hmm. where pretty much all of his visits will be covered by insurance because they're in support of making sure that children have what they need, particularly when it comes to early intervention specialties and stuff like
that. And that's important because so many families feel like, I can't afford this service, so mm-hmm. let me just ignore
it. They shy away from it.
And all you have to do is do the research to find out what you qualify for.
Advocate for your child. I have another friend of ours who her son is on the spectrum and she's realizing he had a hearing issue. There's a couple things happening. And baby, she went to town trying to find every resource, every grant, every doctor who was within whatever network to make sure that her son got every opportunity. I mean, there's some really, really high-end schools that are specialized in early intervention specialties. So yeah, you have to do your research as the parent and see what's available to you at little to no cost, you know, so. All right, y'all. So stick around. We are going to come back with listener letters. Hope that was some helpful information for you all. And of course, we always want to encourage parents to, you know, when the parent guilt kicks in, try to reel that back in and just say, you know what? Instead of making this about me, how can I spend the energy being positive and proactive about helping my child? So stick around. We're going to pay some bills and we'll be back with listener letters.
During the break, let's quickly talk about a couple things that are important to most people I know. Comfort and style. Crocs, classic clogs, and sandals have both covered.
When I'm talking about style, I mean personal style. There are just so many colors and so many Jibbitz charms that you can add to the Crocs to make them unique. You can dress up your Crocs to match your mood, to match your personality, to fit the occasion, and you can change them up day to day.
I mean, ultimately, you can stand out from the crowd in a way that only you can because it's your personal style. And now, let's talk about comfort. You know, it doesn't get better than Crocs, clogs, and sandals when it comes to being comfortable. Style and comfort are usually a trade-off, but here, they're a package deal. It's like you have cushions on your feet. Soft, stylish, personalized, colorful cushion.
That's right. So why wait? Head over to Crocs.com today and experience the comfort and style of Crocs Classic Clogs and sandals for yourself. Your feet will thank you.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, ladies, let's be real. Who here actually enjoys shaving their legs? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought so. And get this. Nair, yes, Nair, the OG that I used for years, has now leveled up. And they have these new sensational shower creams and body creams that smell amazing. My personal favorite, coconut oil and vitamin E, because it's gentle on my skin. And down to the body cream, rich cocoa butter and vitamin E body cream, which is a modern take on indulgent and classic femininity. Okay? It works in as little as 3 minutes, no nicks, no cuts, and the smooth skin lasts days longer than shaving. Nair's new sensational shower and body creams are free of all those nasty chemicals, so you can feel good about what you're putting on your skin. Have a me time moment with Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
All right, guys, we back. So we are back with Kadeen's favorite part, because she knows
you know
it.
You know it.
I'm going to go first today.
Okay.
Hey, y'all, I need a little advice. So I'm 30 with a 9-year-old son, and my boyfriend is 33 with no kids. We have officially been together for 2 years. We have been living together for a year and a few months now. A couple months into moving in, I noticed that he didn't want to have sex as much, and since then, we have only been having sex once or twice a month. Mm. Now, beforehand, our sex life was filled with so much passion and intimacy, so I knew that something was wrong. He mentioned a few things when I brought it up. He said that stepping into a stepdad role was a lot and him just not being happy about the area that we lived in. But something was just not adding up, because what does that have to do with sex? It would be times that my son isn't home and he still wouldn't touch me. Then eventually, after a few conversations, he tells me that my weight is alarming for him. And I understood, because I knew I was gaining weight and I felt uncomfortable myself. I am 165 pounds and I'm 4'11". Definitely a thick girl, but I'm not obese. I put on about 30 pounds since we met. 30 pounds on a 4'11 frame is a lot of weight.
Yeah.
I know this as a trainer. I'm not judging you, miss. But 30 pounds on a 4'11 frame.
Mm-hmm.
I'm speaking as an athlete when we talk about weight.
No, you were a trainer for years. So you know.
Especially dealing with women. So
yeah.
Now I know he says it's alarming, but he didn't tell me how serious it actually was for him. So once we made 2 years, I sat him down and told him I couldn't take it anymore and I am sexually frustrated, which is good. You should tell him that.
Mm-hmm.
Then he starts telling me how he feels about my weight again. He's now in the habit of just relieving himself. He sometimes puts a pillow over his face.
What?
He sometimes puts a pillow over his face when we have sex and does not try to please me anymore. And it dawned on me, he really can't stomach the thought of having sex with me at all. And
man,
that fucked with me heavy. He would still show me affection, like kisses and hugs, on a daily basis. So in my head, I was thinking that he still found me somewhat attractive. But I guess when it comes to sex, he just can't look past it. I know I'm going to get fit and slim down just because I want it for myself. But my question is, should I even stay with someone who can't handle the fluff? Because it sounds like being slim is a necessity for him. And I don't want to feel like I have to constantly look a certain way for him to accept me. Thank you for reading. Love y'all.
Ooh, that was a lot. That was a lot. I will say, first of all, you getting into whatever shape that you feel most comfortable with has to start with doing it for you.
Yes.
That's first and foremost. Nobody can tell you, make you feel you want to have to do this.
Yes.
'Cause you're the one that has to physically put in the work.
Yes.
Put in the time, change the diet. There's been many times when DeVal, and it's only, I'm saying, I'm using this as a reference only because it's what I wanted, where I would be like, man, I'm trying to get back after this baby, or, you know, I have something that I want to do or trip coming up and I want to fit into a certain outfit. And he was holding me accountable because I said I wanted to look a certain kind of way.
That's fair. But I also wanted you to look a certain way. I don't want that to be to go.
Oh, yeah.
Said.
I was going to give you your chance to say that, too, because that's also very necessary. Yes. But I wanted to be able to feel comfortable with myself, but I had to be the one that was ready to do the work. That being said, sis, I think it's unfair if your guy met you a certain kind of way for you to then let yourself go that far and then not take into consideration that how that might affect him. And that's just me being completely honest.
I feel you.
Like I, in my circumstance with DeVal, for example, I know that DeVal likes when I'm in shape. He likes when I'm fit. And mm-hmm. I felt like I wanted to get back to a space where this is when DeVal met me. I looked like this. I want to be back there for him as well, too. Now, does it mean that he's no longer going to love you if you gain 30 pounds? Now, that's a problem.
That is, because Kadeem gained 40 pounds with Jackson, and I still loved her.
Yeah.
And I still loved her.
Yeah.
Like, the fluff and 40 pounds on a 5'5" frame is still a lot of weight, but it was distributed nicely. So
well,
in my defense, I was still in love with how she looked, even though she gained weight. But I also knew that that was temporary.
It was temporary.
And I knew that there was going to be a process.
Right.
I also want to add this. It doesn't only go one way.
Right.
My friend group, especially my fellas, mm-hmm. we talk about how we look for our wives.
Mm-hmm.
And we will clown each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, dude, you were a professional athlete or a collegiate athlete, and that woman met you with a six pack. You was tall and strapping, and now you retired and you let yourself go, and mm-hmm. you still expect that woman to be ready for what you want sexually. That's not fair to her.
Right.
And to be honest, I will die on this hill. Okay, I will die on this hill. Women will tell you in a heartbeat, I want a man who's 6 foot and up.
Mm-hmm.
Men can't control their height at all. But women are fine saying he gotta be 6 foot. Okay. So when a man says she got to be 28-inch waist, you can't then say that's unfair,
mm-hmm.
right? The same way that you'll say, well, there's some women who can't control their weight. That's true.
Right.
But no man can control his height, and women don't have a problem saying that.
I hear you.
So if we all have standards, what you have to do is find someone
mm-hmm.
who has the same standard that you have.
Mm-hmm.
Don't lower your standards,
mm-hmm.
but also don't ask someone to lower their standard if you have a standard that you expect your partner to uphold.
Right.
And I will die on this hill. I love to be, okay, I hate the beard. I say this all the time. I don't like it. It makes me itch. My wife loves the beard. But I also understand this. I have a responsibility to be my wife's fantasy. If I'm going to ask my wife to dedicate her life and all her sexual exploits to me,
mm-hmm.
I can't then tell you, give me all of you. But give me all of you the way I want you to give me all of you. That's not fair. There's a give and take. And part of that giving and take for both men and women is being in shape.
That's essentially what I was getting at. And I know it might sound harsh, and some women may not agree with me when I say, girl, you got to, like, just gaining 30 pounds is not okay. It's not okay, first off, for your health.
Health, right.
For your own health and well-being. That's the first thing. Forget vanity.
Right.
Forget vanity. On a frame, as that's 4'11", gaining that
gaining
kind of weight.
30 pounds is a lot
especially,
of weight.
Especially, I don't know how fast the weight came on too, but that's just not healthy.
If she has a thyroid issue, please give us that in the context so we understand.
Oh, did she say
no, she didn't.
Oh, she didn't. Okay.
But I'm saying give us in the context so that we understand, like, well, you can't control the weight,
there
so that may be an issue.
There are extenuating circumstances.
But when you say I just gained 30 pounds.
Right, exactly. And it's just like, I know personally, I am motivated to stay in shape for myself first and foremost, and then for my husband. Like, literally, I feel like he deserves to have the best version of me. Vanity aside, DeVal and I were like, yo, we're both turning 40. We're making the necessary changes so that we can live this life as long as we can control it, as long as possible together.
I agree.
It starts with health. That's why even preparing for the tour, us working out, changing our diets,
together.
Doing it together.
Together.
You know, and maybe he should be rallying around her. If your goal is to not lose this weight, be like, babe, can you support me through this process so I can get back down to size? But I can understand how it's heart-wrenching for her to feel like, damn, like my man has to put a pillow over his face and he can't stand the sight of me while having sex. Like, that has to be heartbreaking. And I feel for her with that.
But this is also a bigger issue, right? Why doesn't he feel comfortable saying, hey, babe, you know, seems like you put on a little bit of weight. Is everything okay?
Well,
are you
healthy?
Well,
I think he did say that, though. She said he asked, right?
No, she said at first he stopped coming on to her, and that's when she started asking.
Oh, okay.
Like, and my thing is, as a man, you should say to your partner, if this is someone you want to spend the rest of your life with, say, hey, babe, I noticed you put on some weight. Mm-hmm. Are you okay physically? Is everything okay? If everything's okay, it's like, yo, you know, how about we go to the gym together? Mm-hmm. How about we do this together? But you have to express it before it becomes a turnoff to where you can't look at your partner anymore.
Yeah.
Because now what you're doing is projecting whatever issues you have with her weight on her. She doesn't know why, but now she's becoming insecure. And if she becomes more insecure, she's not going to want to work out anymore.
Right.
Like, I've watched that. You remember when I used to train athletes, I also trained their parents. Mm-hmm. 75% of the athletes I trained were from single moms. Mm-hmm. And those moms was overweight sometimes. And I said, how did you get overweight? And they would tell me stories. Mm-hmm. But I was like, you know, I didn't realize after I had this child, that child, I gained weight. And then my husband never said anything, but I noticed that he was less affectionate. Mm-hmm. And then once I realized he was less affectionate, I got down on myself. And then once I got depressed, the weight kept coming. Mm-hmm. So it was almost like...
it's a psychological attachment with it.
Yeah, and it was a cycle that as a man, if you realize that your wife is gaining weight in a way that you don't like it or something that's not helping you, say it before it becomes an issue that becomes a bigger issue.
Weight is just so sensitive for people, though. So I can understand why maybe he might have been apprehensive, because weight is sensitive, man or woman. I think it's hard for some people to figure out how to say it, I guess maybe in the nice way or in a caring way or in a way that's going to be received. And I'm just thinking from a sensitivity standpoint.
But let me ask a question.
Yeah.
Name a topic that's too sensitive for you and me to discuss.
I know, but we're different.
No. Then we're not different. We're not different.
Or we've gotten to this point, but it wasn't always easy.
It wasn't. But my point, and it wasn't easy because weight used to be sensitive for you.
Oh, for sure.
And working out used to be sensitive.
Absolutely. Especially after kids. Like, get out my face.
But my point is this. Being sensitive about something doesn't give you the right to ignore it. The same way just talked about these kids, right? And maybe having a learning delay or a speech delay is sensitive. So does that mean we ignore it? No, we have to attack it head on.
You have to have the hard conversations.
And that's my point with couples. Couples ask all the time, how y'all keep the spark? But when we tell people sometimes how we keep the spark, it's like, I ain't doing all that.
It's not going to be received well.
Right. Part of keeping the spark is trying to keep yourself the way you attracted your partner.
Yeah.
This is something people don't want to hear. Being attracted to someone is part of the process. That's part. When you meet someone, you don't meet someone with telepathy and say, this person is brilliant. I'm going to fall in love with them.
Right.
You meet them first. Something about them attracted you to
them. Absolutely.
And I think that the best way to keep the spark is to try to keep yourself to where you felt like you was at your best. Mm-hmm. And me and my homies, and I'm speaking to a lot of dudes who listen to this too. We have a 3-month body check.
A body check?
Bro, when the last time y'all been in the gym? Like, serious. I don't want to say the names because. Put your picture in the chat. What the fuck are you doing?
No, you're right. I've heard you on the phone with your brother recently, and then you got on the phone with his wife and was like, sis, you got to make sure that he's not doing X, Y, Z. He needs to be there for you and the kids. Like, it's true. That's just how we speak. We're very, very transparent and blunt about it.
Yes. I say, yo, bro, you just got married. Mm-hmm. Your wife met you a certain way. You think that now since you got a woman and she's going to cook for you and stuff, that you can just eat your way into an early grave and not be there for them?
Yeah.
Plus, that woman met you a certain way and fell in love with you a certain way. There's going to come a point where you're going to be like, yo, babe, how come you ain't doing this no more? Mm-hmm. Nigga.
Because.
You don't look the way she wants. Like, that's, come on,
that's
bro.
That's just what it is, y'all. Man or woman.
It don't matter.
It's not insensitive. It's just what it is.
It is what it is.
It's what it is. Like, it's what it is, y'all.
Yes, it is what it is. You can't avoid it. If you love your partner as much as you say, take care of yourself for yourself, but also for them.
Absolutely.
That's just a fact.
Absolutely. Good luck to you, sis. I know you can do it. I know you can do it.
Yeah,
and
you
already
can do
said
it.
That you know that you want to do this for yourself. Start there, and he's going to feel the effects and the benefits of it. But if you in your spirit feel like, you know what, I don't want to be with somebody in the event that I lose this weight and then say gain it back later, you have a child or something, and that's going to be an issue again, that's worth having the conversation with him about.
While we're on this topic, I hope we get to the second, but I have to ask you a question as a woman. Why do we see so many women, right, who are bad, get into a relationship, right, kind of lose themselves a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. Lose their man and then like, oh, the best way to get him back is to become the best version of myself. why didn't you stay the best version of yourself when you was with him?
Valid question.
And I'm asking as a woman, like,
I know somebody who absolutely.
We've had a couple of friends, and yes. I was like, hey, why do they do that to us? Like self-sabotage.
Got comfortable, you know, was in love, you know, gained a couple pounds, then things didn't work out, and then baby's a baddie again.
I'm gonna get him back by, it's like, don't get him back by doing that. Do that while he there, so homie can be like.
Because that's a conditional thing. You have to do it for yourself. You have to want to do it for yourself. If you're doing it for some other outside resource, I mean, outside person, it's not sustainable.
See that what you just said is the answer.
It's not sustainable.
Anybody who's only working out to hit the scene, the minute you hit the scene and find somebody, you won't work out no more because you was never doing it for yourself to begin with. That's the
key
right there.
That's why I started with doing it for you.
That's the key. You got to do it for yourself so you can sustain it.
For sure.
That's the truth.
Absolutely. All right. Second one, we'll go to this one real quick. This one's a short one. I love y'all so much. Love you back. Okay, my first mistake was accessing my husband's already logged in Facebook account. Chow. I know. I said chow. And then she says, I know. In caps. Well, I went to his search box to see who he's been checking on, and he had been searching his ex at least monthly for months. It made me feel a type of way initially. Does he want to be with her or miss her? Then I self-reflected and realized maybe we all think of our exes every now and again. I don't consistently search anyone, much less an ex. Am I under or overreacting? How would you approach it? Asking about it isn't going to change the fact that he's curious enough to search in the first place. He dated this girl in high school, 2004, and they hadn't had any communication since before we got married. We've been married 13 years. Thoughts? Thank y'all. Hope this makes the podcast. Love you both. Why are you laughing?
Because I got two thoughts, right?
Okay.
I got two thoughts.
What's your two thoughts?
All right. First thing, I never judge people.
Right.
Never, because you really never know someone's situation, right? Mm-hmm. The first thing I thought was, damn, man, when you're looking at your ex, it's like, is that the one that got away?
Uh-huh.
Right?
But, that's the first thing.
But I will say this. I don't think that anymore because she says that he hasn't looked her up since for like 13 years.
Right.
So he wasn't thinking about her for 13 years.
Right.
So it could have been somebody crossed his path like, oh, have you talked to so-and-so recently?
Uh-huh.
And now he's like, oh, I haven't.
Right.
Or someone sent him the profile, check out so-and-so. And then he looks and then updates. Because I know this for a fact. Social media becomes addictive, right? You see somebody.
It's a rabbit hole.
It's a rabbit. You post something and then you post to see what they post.
Right.
It doesn't mean that they're in love or that they're looking for something.
Sometimes it's like, oh shit, I haven't like heard about this person in a long time. I've searched an ex before on Facebook.
Oh, you have, huh? Let's talk about that.
But it was a similar situation where his god sister had reached out to me because she was getting tickets for her friends for our live show,
Yes.
And then she was just like, oh my goodness, like, how have you been? Like, we love, like, the family has watched how you have, like, blossomed, you and your husband. We love you guys. You know, and then she mentioned, like, you know, I asked how he was doing, how's the family, just out of courtesy because we're having the back and forth. And then she's just like, oh, he's great, like, has two kids, blah, blah, blah. And I went and looked to just see, like, and then it was nothing. There was no interaction. I didn't feel no kind of way. It was like, okay, great to see that somebody who I used to date back in the day is doing well, and it was nothing attached.
It's funny you say this because you also told me that you reached. I felt no way about it when you told me about it.
Right.
So this is also says a lot about their relationship. Ask yourself, why does it bother you so much? Of course, ask him why.
Right.
But then ask yourself why it bothers him so much. Because when you told me you looked up the person, the first thing wasn't my mind was like, are you in love with that person?
Yeah.
It was just like, oh, that's interesting. You know what I'm saying? Like, my mind just never went there.
Never went there.
You know?
And I'm wondering, what was your reason for going to the search box? And did you eventually go to the message box, the inbox? Like, you know, it could be, like you said, a rabbit hole, but it doesn't seem like there was anything more than just the search
bar. Right.
Right.
So there's no messages.
And, you know, being married 13 years, it really could have just been something as innocent as, like, you know, let me see how she look now, child. Because, you know, she looked good then, but then here we are 13 years later, she might not. Like, I don't know.
I will say this too. And I know this because I have a couple boys who live this type of lifestyle. If somebody cheating on you or looking to hide something from you, they're not going to have their Facebook open for you to see anything.
That's a fact.
Unless he's like a Jedi mind trick cheater. And he's just like, I'm going to just delete everything and leave it open. So she, you know what I'm saying? But most of the time, niggas ain't that smart.
That's a fact.
So most of the time, niggas is just logging out of everything, keeping their laptop closed. They sleep with their phone underneath their pillow. Most times, and I can't speak for them, I don't know. But most times, the men that I know who keep their stuff open and their wives find something,
it's
like,
because there was nothing to hide to begin with.
And sometimes, women, if you look for something, you're going to find it. You know what I'm saying? Like, yep. You look for it, you're going to find it. And
or you're going to find something.
You're going to find something. And like, why are you searching your ex for 13
be,
years?
Right.
I just searched my ex. There's no messages. There's no pictures.
Right.
I searched.
That's it.
And it could have been the same thing. What if I was looking for you? Why did you search up so-and-so? Because I spoke to the god sister who bought tickets to our podcast tour.
Right.
She mentioned that he was on Facebook. I wanted to see how he was doing. It could have became a thing if I wanted it to become a thing. But, you know, when you're confident in your space, it's like certain things like that.
Right. And then also, too, I mentioned it to you because it really was nothing. It was just like, yo, I said, like, they have kids now, blah, blah, blah. He's moved on. He's married. Great. Good for him. Like, it was totally just like in passing conversation.
People don't take, everybody doesn't take social media serious. Like, I've had people ask me through DMs, you know, I got a question about social media. Like, what boundaries do you and Kay put on social media for likes? And this, I said, miss,
ciao.
We don't put boundaries on social media because social media is not a real place.
Right.
I don't feel like I have to put boundaries on my wife with social media because we exist in a world that is not digital.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Some people really don't give a shit about social. So it's like me searching up somebody on a social to see what their life is like. It's not that important to me. But then there are some people who's like, nah, that's a violation. That's cheating. If you type your ex's name in the search bar and you hit search, you're cheating. Like, there's
people who feel that way.
They have to speak to each other and create their own boundaries. But for me and Kay,
nope.
I could care less,
can't relate.
Man. Like, Kay looks up stuff on social media. Her and her friends group, they got dick pics that they be sending each other and shit.
Me and
my guys,
girl shit.
We look at ass and titties on. Like, you know, you got single guys in the group. They're like, yo, check shorty out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is what it is.
Right.
I got eyes. Kay got eyes.
Right. We ain't dead.
But we don't exist in a digital world, though.
No.
So.
And no one's acting on it either.
Nah,
so.
I could care less, to be honest.
All right. If you want to be featured as one of our listener letters, email us at deadassadvice@gmail.com.
That's deadassadvice@gmail.com.
All right. Time for the moment of truth. The topic today, we're talking about Dakota's mild speech delay and what we've been doing to make sure that he is set up for success as we move forward so he can be the brilliant 2-year-old that we know he's growing into be.
My moment of truth is very, very simple. Don't put your child at a deficit because you're too ashamed to ask for help.
Mm.
It's that simple. If this life is about them, you can't be concerned about what other people may say about you or your parenting style if you're requesting help.
Mm-hmm.
Don't put your child at a deficit because of that.
That's a good one, baby. I think my moment of truth is that us as parents do also need to give ourselves grace because there's so many things that we're juggling on a day-to-day basis. And as long as you catch it early, you reassess where the priorities should be lying, and then you make the necessary steps to make those changes immediately, then you will allow your child to prosper. And that's exactly what Deval and I did. I feel in the moment with Coda, once we figured out something maybe a little off, it's like, what are all of the things that we can do to make sure that he's going to be okay? And that's putting our feelings aside, putting our pride aside, and just making sure that at the root of everything, the child is first.
Yes. And lastly, it is not your parents' responsibility to raise your kids.
That too.
They are
or the babysitter or the nanny or whoever.
As a parent, you have a responsibility to be a parent.
That's a fact.
Putting it off on someone else is unfair.
Nope. And even in school, like, baby, Deval
and
I.
It ain't up to your teacher.
Deval and
to
I are in this with our children and their educators. It is a group team effort, and we work in conjunction with all of our children's educators. So that's another important thing to note. All right, be sure to find us on Patreon to see exclusive Deadass Podcast video content as well as more family content from the Ellises. And you can find us on social media at Deadass the Podcast. And you can find me at Kadeen I Am.
And I am Deval. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, be sure to rate, review, subscribe, and pick up your copy of We Over Me, the counterintuitive approach to getting everything you want out of your relationship.
Oh, and follow me on TikTok, y'all, because I'm very unhinged over there. I've been starting to dabble more into the TikTok
market. You wild on TikTok.
Yeah, so it's going to be fun over there. It's going to be fun over there. Meet me. Catch me outside.
Deadass. Cut.
Deadass is a production of iHeartMedia Podcast Network and is produced by Denora Pena and Tribble. Follow the podcast on social media at Deadass the Podcast and never miss a thing.
You know that I feel like it's important to express yourself. You got to put your true self out there. And those classic Crocs, clogs, and sandals let you do that.
That's right. Between the rainbow of colors and the Jibbitz charms, you can create a unique look. And I mean literally, no one else will have shoes exactly like yours.
Hey, you know it doesn't get any more comfortable than the Croc clogs and sandals. They are just the perfect blend of comfort and creativity.
Visit Crocs.com to explore the latest styles and Jibbitz charms.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference.
That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule.
It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.